The show starts in 1 minute.
Please remember to replace the speaker on the post when you leave the theater.
And now, on with the show.
Hello and welcome to episode 84 of Saturday Matinee Theater. It's brought to you by your friends at the Long Box Crusade. We are back in jolly old England. We are in our recording studio set up deep inside Sherwood Forest. I'm your host, Jared Alwick, the yard sale artist. And joining me, as always, is the little John to my Robin Hood. It is Pat Sampson, a.k.a. DJ Christatos. How you doing today, Christatos?
Yeah, Jared, I'm doing all right.
What?
What? You know, I'm feeling tingly fresh today. Oh. Tingly fresh because you know what? We're kind of expanding. Me and Dan, we're kind of expanding our emporium throughout all the places that we go and recover. So I just wanted to say that this episode is going to be sponsored and brought to you by Pat and Dave's Farrow Root Cream Oil Hair Tonic. That's Pat and Dave's Farrow Root Cream Oil and Hair Tonic. That's why I got it. Gives you that tingly feeling, that tingly fresh feeling on your head.
Is it the hair tonic that's giving you that tingly feeling, really?
Well, you know, let's not talk about that, but just, you know, it's nice.
No heroin.
No heroin. It's just nice to be, you know, we're expanding. We're doing pretty good. So keep on the lookout for more stuff from us.
I heard you were doing stuff in Mexico.
We were. It was Come Down on Tacos.
Yep. Okay, yeah. It was Come Down on Tacos. I listened to the last Zorro episode. I wasn't on. I heard you open a new business. Yep. Well, good for you, Pat. Always with the entrepreneurial spirit. Also joining us is the ugliest Maid Marian of all time. It is my older, wiser brother, Jason the Weasel Skull. And how are you today, Jason?
Oh, I'm doing just fine. I'm of the right age, and the trail was smooth for us to get me here. My man, Robin Hood, took care of business, and I think we'll talk about that a little bit today. That man is marrying material, I will say, and that's a double entendre.
All right, yeah, we'll definitely talk about the plans and schemes of Robin Hood and who's of the proper age. We are down one Friar Tuck today. Delvin the Dark Web Williams is off enjoying a much earned vacation from the Long Box Crusade for his birthday. I believe he's turning 52 this time around. 52 for Delvin. So, speaking of people who are 52, we have sitting in for Delvin. I don't know if we can really call him a guest anymore because he's just here for us. But it's our good friend and Long Box Crusade Beatles expert, Alan J. Porter. Welcome back, Alan.
Thank you. I'll take 52. I'll go with that.
I thought you were about 50. You're Delvin.
Yeah, give or take. A lot of take. Yeah, I'm good. I just got back from a walk, literally. This is no bullshit. There's actually a little forest nature reserve right by my hotel here. So that's what I did for lunch. I walked through the forest to find a restaurant and then walked back through it. Good 3 mile hike through the woods. So I'm in the mood and now looking forward to settling down at the Blue Boar and hope somebody's going to buy me a flagon of whatever that stuff was.
I'm sure. I don't know if I drink anything from the Blue Boar. I'm not sure.
Probably not a good idea in Russia.
The best drink is a free drink, am I right?
Yeah. Okay, what it tastes like if somebody else is buying, yeah?
That's true. If it has a taste of free in it, it's delicious. I actually knew about his wooded walk because I follow him on social media and I saw him post about it. And we are kindred spirits, Alan. When I used to travel all the time for work too, I was big on what's nearby, you know, walk around. And that's all. It's like a little mini adventure. It's good.
Yeah, always. Yeah. If you've got a couple of hours to spare, leave the car there and just go for a walk. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Yep. Found some cool stuff that way. But anyway, yeah, Alan's back and Delvin is out. So that's it. And just as a reminder to the folks listening, Alan is broadcasting from a clandestine location. So if he sounds a little different, you cut him some slack. I'm sure he'll sound just as smart, regardless of audio quality. And you know what? Speaking of smart, this is people's first time ever listening to the show. They might be wondering, what have I gotten into? First of all, those people, I want to say welcome. And secondly, Pat, let them know what they've gotten into.
Well, Jared,
per the script, Pat, don't tell them what they've really gotten into.
Oh, yeah, well, you know, that's okay. Well, Jared, I am glad you asked. Saturday Matinee Theater is a retro review, sometimes index show brought to you by the Long Box Crusade. where we'll be taking you back to the past with some potentially overlooked retro awesomeness in the realm of television, movie serials, or films. Basically, if it's vintage and it's kind of forgotten, we're going to dig it up. On this episode, we will continue our indexing of all 39 episodes of the 1955 television series, The Adventures of Robin Hood. 1955's Robin Hood was produced by Sapphire Films, run by Hannah Weinstein and Sidney Cole. It starred Richard Green as Robin Hood and Alan Wheatley as the Sheriff of Nottingham. So take refuge in the forest, take off your quiver of arrows, get cozy around the fire, and let that gorgeous music of the Merry Men whisk you away into the past. But don't forget, you can't go courting if you dress like that and don't use the hair cream oil.
Pat, now before we hand it over to, I guess, Jason for this the episode's info, let's take a look, or in this case, a listen to a commercial that we've been playing the time this episode was released back in 1955. This will help us get the right time frame of mind, if you will, transport us back to the 50s. For this episode's commercial retro rewind, we have Gibbs SR toothpaste.
It's tingling fresh. It's fresh as ice. It's Gibbs SR toothpaste. The tingling fresh toothpaste that does your gums good, too. The tingle you get when you brush with SR is much more than a nice taste. It's a tingle of health. It tells you something very important, that you're doing your gums good and toughening them to resist infection. And as this chart shows, gum infection is the cause of more tooth losses than decay itself. The tingle in SR comes from sodium resinoleate, a substance which both dental research and years of use in dental practice have shown to be good for the gums. So, to keep your teeth white as snow, your gums really healthy, and your breath really fresh, see your dentist regularly and brush with SR, the tingling fresh toothpaste for teeth and gums. Gibbs SR.
So we have the SR from Gibbs. Not going to lie, it's a brand I was unfamiliar with, but the first person to talk about it would be Alan. And I think he knows a little something about Gibbs.
Do I?
I don't, you texted me something about it. I haven't got to watch it yet.
It's not toothpaste. I was looked it up. This was actually the first ad for SR toothpaste. One of the things that caught my attention when I was listening to it was this sounded awfully familiar to the ad that I used to watch growing up. And I remembered an ad with like the toothpaste in the ice and stuff like that. And I thought, oh, okay, that's it. So I went and looked up the one and I found one from 1976, which is the one I sent to you, Jared, which basically is like a mini James Bond movie with guys in hang gliders and on skis and pretty girl in the snow and stuff. Doesn't actually relate to this one at all, other than it's SR toothpaste. But then I found one from 1980, which is pretty much the same as this one. It's the toothpaste in the ice, and it's the same thing. They're still selling the tingling feeling, even so. It was seems to be a, like for as long as that toothpaste existed. I don't know if it still is, but I certainly remember it growing up. It was pretty much that same. Even though this is the first one, they kept that throughout the sort of at least 30 years of advertising, which I thought was quite interesting. But I tell you, going back to this one, what I always love in commercials is here's a pseudoscience graph, so it must be true.
Like cardboard cutout.
It's like those pop-up books.
Well, nothing, you know, you wouldn't get it past your science teacher, but it just cracks me up every time that you see that. Even today, you know. Guy in a white coat does something. Here's a graph, so this must be scientifically proven. That just cracked me up. So.
Klaus Hergesheimer, G section.
Yeah. I thought it was a fun commercial that sort of got the point over. I'm not sure about the acid or whatever it is they were dropping at the end there, but
it gives you a tingling feeling.
That's probably where the tingling came from. I just found it interesting. As soon as it started, he's like, I remember this commercial, a much more modern version of this commercial. And they obviously kept the same basic brand messaging all the way through. So just as a marketing guy, I just found that interesting.
I'm going to go out on a limb here and say that this is a British product.
I guess it is. Yeah.
I've never heard of it. So I was like, did the guys in the commercial sound particularly British? I don't know.
Yeah, I think he
maybe
did.
Maybe a little bit. Yeah. Huh.
He sounded like he knew what he was talking about.
Just like Alan.
We can bullshit about anything. It's just the accent.
I believed him.
Sure. Put some sodium pentothal on my toothpaste. So whatever. Anyways, Jason. All right.
Sodium pentothal, you start telling the truth about everything.
Toothpaste. It's toothpaste is tingling.
It's truth-based with sodium.
Fresh. Truth-based.
Jason, you got the mic.
Oh, man. I think we made a more entertaining commercial. I guess my initial thought was, man, I never really heard of this toothpaste before. And I'm not really surprised. It didn't have really a good hook. That made me, I would like to see the James Bond little mini movie commercial. I think that would have been.
It's on YouTube. Just Google SR commercial 1976 or something.
Okay. Yeah. So I was like, yeah, you know, because to me, you got like toothpaste is toothpaste, right? I don't know about you. Do you have like a brand where you got like, I got to get this brand? Or like me, I go to the store and, okay, what's the best deal? Who's on sale? And that's what I throw in the cart.
Hershey's brand toothpaste.
That's right. It is so delicious. I will say that I wasn't shy. I saw Pat's eyes pop up when he said that tingling sensation. Pat's like, I know.
Ooh, that yeah, yes, mm-hmm. I do.
I know what you put in that for that tingling sensation. But overall, yeah, I thought, it's okay. It's toothpaste. Is it still around? Do they still sell it? Do we know? All right. That's all I got.
Pat, what do you got?
You know, I like this commercial. I liked the toothbrush and the toothpaste frozen in that Cuba ice. I thought that was pretty cool gimmick there going on, where it's like kind of coming out on the brush. And that was really cool to do. I like that. But did you guys notice how big that toothbrush was? That girl was putting in it. It's like, it was like huge. It was like, and then she puts it in. Who has a big toothbrush like that?
I'm going to go back on mute. I think it's best if I go back on mute.
Yeah, I also am going to mute.
Okay. Well, I just found it interesting and funny to just see that. But whatever. It was good. I liked the tingliness and the freshness. And it's good to see some of the extra stuff that Alan brought about it. So I always like the fun facts that Alan brings.
Absolutely.
You know what? Alan's fun facts are tingly fresh.
All right, back to the show. Okay, now that we're all sparkling, clean, and tingly, and we're in our 50s mindset, here's Jason with this episode's info.
Thank you, Jared. This one was episode 8, and it was titled Queen Eleanor. Its original air date was November 27th, 1955. It was directed by Dan Burt and written by Ring Lardner Jr. Guest stars included Archie Duncan as Little John, Alexander Gage as Friar Tuck, Bernadette O'Farrell as Maid Marian, Jill Esmond as Queen Eleanor, and Gerald Cross as Bruno. As a reminder, all 39 episodes are available on YouTube. We highly encourage you to watch this episode before proceeding with this podcast because, well, not only is it just more fun that way, but Jared is about to give a synopsis about this episode, and then we're going to discuss it. So there are probably some spoilers heading your way. So again, if you haven't watched this episode, we recommend you pause here, go check it out on YouTube, and then come back to join our discussion. And at only 26 minutes per episode, it's not a big time demand. For those of you who are watching along with us, we'd love to hear your insights. And don't forget to comment about the show on Twitter using hashtag I'm following Robin Hood. Alan.
Hashtag I'm following Robin Hood.
Jared.
Hashtag, I'm following Robin Hood.
There it is. Pat, go ahead.
Hashtag, I'm following Robin Hood.
And hashtag, I'm following Robin Hood. And with that, let's turn it over to Jared for this episode summary. Smooth.
Eleanor is on a fundraising tour of England, raising money to assist her husband, King Richard, in the Crusades. The Sheriff of Nottingham makes a generous donation, but only because he plans to steal all the funds collected, and better still, he plans to make it look like the outlaws of Sherwood Forest are the culprits. So, the Sheriff's men disguise themselves as outlaws. It's a pretty good plan until their hunger and greed get the best of them, and they accost a baker on the trail. Now, the baker knows a fraud when he sees it, and he reports his findings to Friar Tuck. Now Robin knows there are some frauds afoot in his forest. And why not use bureaucracy against itself? Via the friar, the royal foresters are tipped off about the outlaws, air quotes, in the forest. So they want to make the collar and get the reward for capturing said outlaws, air quotes. I wonder if it'll all work out. Tune in, find out. All right, guys, it's time to get the highs, lows, and what does of the episode, the meat and potatoes of this discussion, if you will. As always, we will open the floor to our good friend, Mr. Alan J. Tex Porter, a.k.a. Tingly Sparkle, Tingly Fresh. That's it. Anyways, what do you got, Alan?
I'm going to start with a huge positive. The actual title character, Eleanor of Aquitaine. It was awesome to see her in it. I love the way she was portrayed. I love the fact that they wove in so much of her history very quickly about her being first the Queen of France and then the Queen of England. And the whole thing about her being a warrior herself, all historically accurate. She did actually lead a band of 300 women crusaders in the Second Crusade. So all of that was historically accurate. I love that. And I love the way she's one of my favorite historical persons, characters, whatever. I just love that period of history. And she is such a big part of it. It was like an almost perfect interpretation of her just based on the history. And I love the, you know, she is such a strong character through history, but also she knows the place. And I love the way that she did the diss about John, about if you're going to have 10 children, stop at the 9th, because the 10th is always a disappointment. Again, completely accurate. He was her 10th and last child. So I loved all of that side of it. And she was just great throughout, knowing that both sides were being played, knowing who was... where strengths were, knowing who to trust, with one exception. So yeah, I just having the hearts for Robin Hood at her age and being open about it, and well played, beautifully written as always in the show, and such a great strong female character, and I just love the fact that they got all historical backstory completely spot on, as well as a great showing of her in the show. So I'm going to stop gushing about Eleanor of Aquitaine now and hand it over to one of you guys. But yeah, huge positive for me on this episode.
All right, I was right here sweating because my fun fact for this episode is all about the actress that plays her. So I was really worried I was going to get into that. I was dabbing my sweat, but it sounds like it would be okay. All right, Jason, your go, my friend.
Well, I will again say one of the things that I really like about this show, Alan kind of took mine. I keep waiting for there to be a miss of an episode, and there just isn't one. I'll go with a high as far as Robin Hood again himself and the loyalty and the respect that he commands, not just by his men, but the people who know him and have come to trust him, including that bread peddler that gets mugged on the road. And that's really the undoing of the whole plot, because the villains can dress themselves up as, you know, the Sherwood, one of the merry men, but their actions really betrayed him. And he was not fooled for an instant. And that was the undoing of the plot. And that's just really a credit to Robin Hood and his consistent behavior, his code of ethics and everything. And we're seeing that play out in the show. And I really enjoyed that element.
These guys were just tossing loaves of bread on the ground, man. Come on.
Yeah.
I know. What were they looking for? They were like, those loaves of bread smell good. And then they start throwing, It's just more loaves of bread. I'm the bread peddler, damn it.
Just looking for that fruitcake or something. I don't know.
Bread.
Yeah, I agree with you on that. Again, just the way the show is brilliantly written, just that little scene showed how Rob, we've not seen it yet, but it showed how Robin and the Merry Men treat the peasants who use the forest for their living or their pathway or, you know, and as you said, it doesn't matter how they dress, the fact that those guys acted like rough outlaws immediately triggered the fact that he knew that they weren't actually Robin's men, I thought was really well done. And I thought it was a nice way to show that, even though we actually haven't seen it in any of the previous seven episodes, that Robin's built that respect of the people who actually live and work and traverse through the forest. I thought it was very, very well done. So nice shout to Jason.
I concur. And Patrick, you've been so patient. What you got?
Well, I do want to agree with what Jason was saying on the respect that Robin Hood gets from everybody. That was a good take to see that. And with Alan as well, too, with the Queen, this actress portraying her was playing the part very well. And in a matter of a few minutes, you get that history of who she is, what she stands for, who she backs, and just a very strong woman, you know, for this time. I thought this was really good and liked it so much. I want to talk about just some of the fun stuff that I saw. One day I want to sit around, and hopefully it's with you guys. One day I want to sit around, have a big table and just feast like that, and just have food all out in front of us, eating a big chicken wing or a turkey wing or something like that.
It's called soul food. It's in Charlotte.
We do that every June.
Yeah, but I just want the food to just all sprawl out the table and, you know, gnawing on all of us, just kind of gnawing on a big wing or a leg. I would love to have that. And I've never been to those medieval times, you know, the dinner theaters or the things that they have, but I don't know if they let you eat like that, but if they do, I definitely want to be down.
There were no utensils in medieval times. Since there are no utensils at medieval times, you want to refill on your Pepsi?
Yes. I hold out my hand here. No, I just thought it was cool and kind of fun that you get to see that, and made me hungry.
Awesome. Awesome stuff. Yeah, they do a good job in the environments.
They do. They definitely do. And some of the side scenes, you see the castles and all that, and really helps that, you know, when I went on my trip to London, we got to go to like Dover and saw Dover Castle and got to kind of go around and sneak around in there and all that. So now I can really see like them climbing up the stairs. I'm like, man, they're climbing up the stairs and there's no rail and all that. And the stairs are really small and tiny and just really cool to see them kind of get the sets right.
Did you say Dover Castle?
Dover Castle? What did I say?
No, that's cool. Just completely non sequitur, but I'm not bullshitting. That one of my ancestors was actually the commander of Dover Castle in 12.
Oh, wow.
And I've never been. It's one of my places I've always wanted to be because of the family connection. So I'm incredibly jealous that you got to go there. That's awesome.
Yeah. You definitely got to go. It's a cool place.
Back to the show.
Nah, cool Dover. Send Pat on
over. I'm over.
Anyway, it's back to Alan anyway, to the top of the order. What you got, Alan?
Okay. Yeah, I'll stop geeking about my ancestors now. I've actually got a couple of very minor negatives, but I think, I don't know whether it was just I was watching it on a different TV or whatever, but or it was the different version I was watching, but the matte paintings this time for the establishing shots seemed of a lower quality. They sort of jumped out to me as like, oh, that's a matte painting rather than, oh, that's a cool castle. But it might have just been the version I was watching on YouTube or watching it on a different TV, which I was. I don't know. It just, the production value just seemed slightly less on this one. But
that's weird because I thought they were, maybe I wasn't paying close attention, but I thought they were like stock footage, like they had stock footage of like this picture of a castle. I didn't realize it was a painting.
Yeah.
So it may be how you watch it. Who knows?
Yeah, maybe. Yeah. Yeah. But there isn't that many castles around that they particularly complete castles that you'd have stock footage of complete castles. So,
yeah.
Okay. I think my only big negative, and we sort of touched on it with the baker, is the fact that Robin's plan basically wasn't going to work and was only rescued by accident. That if those guys, the sheriff's men, disguised sheriff's men, hadn't broken ranks and attacked the baker, Robin and his men would never have known about the trap and the queen would have been caught.
That's true.
So Robin,
but to Jason's point, like it's Robin's goodwill.
Right, it did. So, like I said, it's a minor negative, but I think it's the first time we've seen that Robin's plan. I mean, sometimes he's got plans within plans and tricks within tricks, but he always knows the outcome.
Mm-hmm, that's true.
This one, it was really just down to accident that he found out about it and then could pivot and figure out a different way of solving the problem. But, if, you know, it's a bit like the Bond villains. You know, if they hadn't shot the missile out of the volcano, Bond would never have known they'd have been there. It's that sort of thing, you know? It's like if the guys had not got impatient and attacked the baker, Robin would never have known about it.
And the bread smelled good.
But that bread smelled too good, even if they then threw it all on the floor, which made no sense. But anyway, like I said, it's just a minor thing, but it was like, ooh, Robin's plan would not have worked except for accident. So that was probably my only real little minor gripe about this episode. But I do actually want to, again, just going back, I love the historical thing. You know, when Robin says, I'll get you a breakfast with a drink of Malmesbury, that's actually a sweet, fortified sweet wine. And again, just the little historical stuff that they just pepper throughout the dialogue is just awesome. Yeah, I'll stop gushing about this show.
I like how he bribed him with that breakfast.
Yeah, yeah.
And then earlier he was like, hey, what are you doing here? You know, it's a little late for lunch and you're too early for dinner.
Yeah. So I have a couple of others, but I don't want to step on anybody else's toes. So
I have a couple too, but I'll also stay to reserve and see what happens in this final couple of opinions here in the second round. Jason.
I love the romantic tension between Robin Hood and Maid Marian. Or I guess I should just say Marian in this series. And this episode, again, had it in spades when Friar Tuck comes to Robin Hood at the beginning and says, hey, Marian, you know, needs you. And he's like, he's ready to go. He's like, oh, she needs rescuing. Let's mount up. And then it's like, no, she wants to see you tonight at the castle. And you know, whether it's Robin Hood's time or our modern times, his boys start busting his beans, you know, just like, ooh, you're going to need to shave and shower, change your shirt. And he puts on like his best, something he stole from Prince John. walking around in it, strutting like the cock of the walk. And then the look on his face when he goes in and he sees the queen and the traitor, that guy that we don't know is the traitor at the time. And he's like,
We don't talk about him.
He really thought he was getting some playtime tonight. And he's like,
aw. I got that reference, Pat. Sorry. I got that reference, Pat.
You did? Okay.
Yeah.
So, and then when the queen is asking Marian about her thoughts on Robin Hood, you could tell the queen knows she's kind of sweet on this guy. Oh, what's that line that he uses when he says, there's never a time when you're not carrying something valuable.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah.
She's like, oh, this is a sly one.
He's a like sweet talker or something like that.
Oh, yeah. You can tell he was a sweet talker. So it's just fun to watch the two of them. And we've seen how they've come along in the course of the story, how she's come to trust Robin Hood to the point where she's like, yeah, if it were me, I'd go through the forest because I, you know, this Robin Hood's a good egg. Right? So at any rate, I just really like seeing this relationship develop. And this was just another good episode where we get to see it blossom just a little bit more.
I like when Robin Hood goes in there after he gets all fancied up and she's like, oh, you look nice. He's like, well, you know, speed was the thing. You know, I figured just get here with what I had on.
Yeah, that's right.
Nobody spent a couple hours on that.
Just threw on this old thing.
Yeah, this is what I was wearing.
I love Friar Tuck too when he says to Friar Tuck, am I looking good? And Friar Tuck says, yeah, for a guy who lives in a forest or something like that. In other words, yeah.
Yeah, the playful banter is great. Like you said, you know, we've talked several times about how the show has blacklisted Hollywood writers, so they're very high quality writers, and you get to see this great banter. Great little jokes, great nuanced moments. And then to Alan's point before, we get to learn a lot about Queen Eleanor, but not through like a ton of exposition, just sort of in passing, picking up information. It's all very good. It's all very good.
I think honestly, if some Hollywood producer just took this series and made a modern Robin Hood story out of it and changed not a word of dialogue and had those quality of actors, you'd have a hit on your hands.
It stands up.
You don't have to change anything in this formula.
Jared has to get rid of all the thoughts of what modern Hollywood would do to it passing through my okay, I'm good.
Sorry.
Now.
Yeah, I did it to myself a little bit too.
I got it out. Okay. Pat, what you got?
Well, I kind of alluded to it, but you know, the traitor in this one was Bruno, but we don't talk about the Bruno.
It was funny. I've heard that phrase. We don't talk about Bruno. I think it's from a Disney something.
It is. But, it's okay. Encanto.
Okay, Encanto. I haven't seen Encanto.
Yeah, it's a good song. It's a good movie too, as well. But we don't talk about Bruno, so we're not going to talk about Bruno.
Bruno is like Jason said, we're not supposed to know he's the traitor yet. But I'm like, Bruno, we all knew it was you. Know,
yeah. Yeah, I thought, taking it back to the show for a minute, to Alan's earlier point, they made a point of Maid Marian seeing him close that door. So yeah. I kind of thought, like, maybe she was going to clue on to him. And she kind of had, like, that look on her face, like, something's not right here.
I was thinking maybe she told Robin and we weren't going to find that out, that she spotted him and told Robin until later on. But again, if I had a very smart minor negative, is they took way too long to figure out it was the guy we don't talk about.
Yeah, not at all. We don't talk about him. What I do want to talk about is the plan. And what's really cool about this, and we've seen it a little bit before too, is it's a plan within a plan within a plan, and it changes. And I thought it was really cool because each side is trying to one-up the other a little bit, and it finally gets kind of sussed out in a little, in an all right way. You know, they had only a half an hour to do this or whatever, so they had to, you know, get the plot to move along a little bit forward. But I liked it. I thought it brought some, you know, interesting other characters in. You didn't know who these Forrester people were that came and helped Robin, you know, took care of the three bad guys. It's like, come on, three bad guys. You really going to take down like Robin and his people if he was escorting the queen?
I just love the, like I mentioned in my summary, like they basically use bureaucracy against them. Like if you watch enough like social media stuff, eventually you'll see pretty funny reels of where like cops spring a trap, like, hey, this is drug bust. And they actually busting other cops from a different unit that are undercover. That's exactly what they did here. They just took the Foresters and sent
them. Yeah. Oh, that's what I said. I liked it because it was like a plan within a plan within a plan. And it was cool.
They were like, because, you know, the whole it's like they used the sheriff against them because the sheriff put all this bounty on their head.
Yeah.
So now the Foresters are like, we're going to get that bounty. And they're busting their own guys just from a different department. That was pretty hilarious.
Wait a minute. Didn't I see you at the Christmas party?
And they were great, too, because they were tactically better. This I bet it stood out to Jason. This just bugged me about the sheriff's man. They had terrible silhouette tactics, like on the top of that hill.
They were on top of the hill, yeah.
like that is militarily the dumbest thing you can do, is give your silhouette to the enemy like that. But they're just standing up all big and tall, and
perhaps they were trained by the same guy who trained Frank Sinatra in the Manchurian Candidate.
Bringing it all together, that's right. We did talk about that. So yeah, I thought that was kind of funny. But the Forrester dudes, they were sneak up around behind them. They did a good job. Very good job. Hey, I see our friend Bold Outlaw has joined us in the chat. And he also very much enjoyed this. And I want to say hey to Billy Dunleavy. He's stopped by to say hello as well. Make sure he got his shout out. There's a lot of stuff in the chat going on about medieval times. We got everybody wanting to go to medieval times.
I'm hungry, you know.
Does sound pretty good. All right. Any last minute stingers, fellas, before we go to the fun facts? I was going to say, or any questions or concerns from people in the chat while Alan goes. What do you got, Alan?
Actually, I'm picking up on what Pat said about the fact he'd just been to Dover. The geography in this, again, was, which considering it's a British production, just blows my mind. It was all over the place. Them saying that the quickest route to the coast was through Sherwood Forest, which is in the Midlands and the Northern Midlands. And then at the end, Eleanor said, oh, we're going to Dover, which is down on the southeast of the coast. And it's like, doesn't work, but it was like
we're sitting over here in America. I was like,
on that makes sense. Yeah,
like on the Dover. Yeah, of course.
For a big production, I was like, hang on a second, that doesn't work. So I just was just strange. But if they'd have just left out that word Dover, I wouldn't have bothered about it. But
So a liberal use of geography, but good historical research on Queen.
All right. With that, I will now get into the fun facts. And as promised, I want to talk a little bit about Jill Esmond, who played Queen Eleanor. She was born Jill Esmond Moore in 1908. She's born in London. She started her acting career at the age of 14 and met with good success on the stage. By 1928, the age of 20, she was in a British stage production of Bird in the Hand with a little-known actor named Laurence Olivier, where he proposed marriage to her multiple times, and she refused each one. Bird in the Hand was very successful and was picked up for an American Broadway release, and Jill made the cut, but guess who didn't? Laurence Olivier did not get picked up for the American Broadway release, which is pretty funny when you think about it. But Olivier went to New York anyway and took work on another production just so he could continue to pursue Esmond. His tenacity paid off, and the two were married in 1930. The marriage was unfortunately tumultuous and only lasted 10 years. The couple had one son together, but ultimately Olivier left Jill Esmond for Vivian Leigh. Jill also was successful in film, not just stage, but in film as well. She starred in over 20 films and TV shows, including an early Alfred Hitchcock film called Skin Game. So that is your history on Jill Esmond and Laurence Olivier, who didn't make the cut, by the way. They were like, so-so.
You need to get a little more seasoned. Come back to us in about 5 years.
It's time to rate the show, so get your arrows out. All right, guys, as you know, 5 arrows means you loved it, and 4, it was very good, and 3, it was good, and 2, it was just okay, and 1, we didn't like it. We don't need 2s or 1s when we talk about Robin Hood, I don't think, but let's find out what everybody thought about it, and for funsies, we'll start with Jason.
I'm going to go with a 4. I thought it was very, very good. I'm starting to figure out how I want to grade these now, and this had a lot of elements from ones that I gave 5 that I really loved. I think this one, to me, what stopped it from getting a 5 just as a little bit. I could have used a little more Robin Hood. I would have liked them to play it off of that Marion seeing the door close thing and having her play a little more active role and busting up the plot. So very minor things that sets it at a 4 for me.
All right. Got a 4 from Jason. Pat.
I am going to match Jason at a 4. I liked it and found it very interesting. Continue to love the character development in this series. It's just so fun to watch.
Alan?
I'm getting on the train with a 4 as well. I think the only thing that pulled it down from a 5 was the glitch in the plot for me and the crazy geography. But other than that, I think it was pretty damn good. And like I say, really strong, really loved the introduction of Eleanor. I hope we get to see her again at some point in one of the, I don't know if we do or not. I can't remember, but yeah, it was a very, very cool episode. So I'm glad you invited me on to check this one out as well.
Well, we're always glad to have you here. And you know what? I'll open the door and get on the floor and everybody will go to 4. So boom, boom, locka, 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 boom. The only thing I'll add is Little John desperately needs to work on his low crawling skills because they're not good.
That was fun.
Robin Hood's were tight. I think the actor must have served in the military because his
was spot on.
His was spot on.
It's hip swiggle, man. Hip swiggle, hip swiggle.
Yeah, planting those elbows. Yeah, he was moving.
Oh, awesome stuff. Let's get into the Sherwood Forest mailbag. We're thrilled to kick off these comments with special shout-outs to our Crusaders Club members, and these are the fine folks who have joined our crusade. They enjoy special access to long box episodes, voting on show content, raffle prizes, bunch of stuff. These are the folks reaping the benefits and giving so much appreciated support to the show.
Alan Wright in the chat.
Woo. And Helica Wolf.
Ow. Auburn Elvis.
Bill Beer.
Braxton Underwood.
Clinton Robeson.
Captain Entropy.
Clark Westfield.
Dave Collins, Battlewagon.
Ezra Gallo.
Gary V.
Gene Hendricks.
Gerald Green.
Hines K.
Jason King.
Jason Lady.
Jeff Polier.
Jim Jarman, Jim Jarman, Jim Jarman, Jim Jarman. I hope you like Jim Jarman too.
Nice. Jim Meal.
Joe Thomas.
John Watson.
Josh Strickland.
Candace Ward.
Kathy Bright, the MVP in the chat.
Matt and Lissy Passo, also in the chat.
Mark Ross.
Maxwell Traver.
Miranda W.
P.D. Devins.
Paul Hicks.
Rick from Jeff and Rick Present.
Rob Morgan.
Samantha Meany.
Sean Urbanski.
Spidey 67.
Spreadsheet.
Steve Cronin.
Tim Price.
Tony Pennington.
And Toronto Cop.
As always, if we missed anyone on the list, we apologize. Keep in mind we record these episodes well in advance of release, so if you're a recent addition, we'll be adding you soon. But no worries, you can let us know we missed you by sending an email to contact@longboxcrusade.com. We'll straighten it out. And if you're asking yourself, hey, how do I get in on this? How do I get on the sweetness that is the Crusaders Club? Just go to patreon.com/longboxcrusade. For as little as $1 a month, you get access to the amazing world of the Crusaders Club. Come and check it out. I think we're sitting at 42 members now. We appreciate each and every one of you.
Mm-hmm, definitely.
Will you be the one to help get us to 45?
Your sweetness is my weakness.
So this is what you get. That's just a taste of what you get behind that Crusaders Club paywall.
How are you not signing up right now? I don't know. With that.
You know what? If you're counting your nickels and dimes and trying to save up, we understand that too. You know, all we ask is maybe you say something nice about us in a comment. We love hearing your comments. You can do that on any of the social medias at Longbox Crusade or YouTube. You can comment right on the videos. We really appreciate it. We have a very few sprinkling of shares and retweets and comments from this is from episode 79, where we covered episode 6 of this Robin Hood show. That was a guest for the gallows. Pat, who did shares and retweets on that?
Well,
read the whole list.
I can read the whole list. I will, Jared. I'm glad you asked me to. First of all, we have Chris from BTO and Bat Books.
Woo! Let it roll!
Roll through. You got the. Go ahead and hit
okay,
it.
Okay, here we go.
Nice.
Better not get it done.
Oh, and we also have Alan Wright from Robin Hood, the Bold Outlaw. Thank you, Alan.
Thank you. And Jason, you were excited about the comment, so you could read it.
Robin Hood the Bold Outlaw says, great show. I think the difference is between production and airing order, a problem that arises when they do air a second part before part one. And I think that stems back to the conversation we were having on how, depending on where you're watching it and how you're watching it, sometimes the story kind of jumps around a little bit.
And I've continued to dig into that. And I know Alan helped me out with that on, I think the following episode, we kind of nailed it down. But I'm really finding three major sources. One is production order, like you talked about, like what order they filmed them in. Two is what order they released them in England. And three is the order they released here in the United States. And I'm pretty sure, even though it's murky waters, but my confidence is about 85% is what we're doing, which is the order in which my Plex put them, is the American release order. I think that's what we're doing. But don't pin me to that because it's confusing as all get out. Well, that is it for our shares and our comments. And you know what? That's kind of typical for Saturday Matinee Theater. It's not our most popular show, but we are not going to stop doing it. So you better get out there and do some comments and share and retweet and all that stuff. We really appreciate those of you who are doing that out there for us. Oh, by the way, if you have a comment for the show and you want to hear your voice on the podcast release of the show, give us a call and leave a voicemail. 707-532-5269. 707-532-LBOX.
Pick up the phone.
Nice.
All right, that's it for this episode of Saturday Matinee Theater. If you'd like to hear more from us in the realm of comic books, you can check out the Long Box Crusade. Pat, where can they find that?
Well, Jason, I am glad you asked. You can find us on all of the finer podcatchers out there. Just go ahead and look up Long Box Crusade and you will find us. Or go to www.longboxcrusade.com. You can also find us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and at YouTube, all at Long Box Crusade. Back to you, Jason.
Thank you, Pat. And if, like us, you have a love for all things 007, you can hear us on our trek through all things James Bond. And you can check out on Her Majesty's Secret Podcast. Jared, where can they find that?
Well, Jason, I'm glad you asked. You can find it on pretty much all your most reputable podcatchers, some of the non-reputable ones as well. It's really based out of Podbean, and Apple is where its strongest following is. But wherever you might find it, we'd love to hear from you. You can go directly to www.secretpodcast.podbean.com, or you can just chat with us over on the X at OHMSpod.
Thank you, Jared. And if you'd like to chat with any of us individually online, we can be found at Pat. Why don't you go ahead and kick us off?
Thank you again, Jason. I am glad you asked. You can find me on the X at Christatos01. Also, don't forget, we have a special order, special discount going on right now for Pat and Dave's cream oil hair tonic cream. That is the Feral Root hair cream. Thank you.
I bet it's sparkly and tingly, too.
Oh, it does, yes. That's the extra added bonus. So we don't like to say it all the time, but.
Well, I won't ask you what the mystery ingredient is. This is a plausible deniability situation, I think.
Appreciate that.
Anyway, Jared, where can they find you?
I am at Yard Sale Artist on X, Facebook, and Instagram. It's all at Yard Sale Artist. You can check out my artware at www.theyardsaleartist.com. And you know what? He's not here, but if you want to chat with Delvin, he is at DEE_RAY1977 on X.
Alan, what about you?
You can find me on most of the social platforms, just at Alan J. Porter. And if you want to sign up for my free weekly newsletter, you can do that at alanjporter.substack.com.
And you can find me at Jason Albrick on Threads or on Instagram. And thanks for joining us for this episode of Saturday Matinee Theater. And get ready for our next episode. You're going to have to get your whips oiled and your six shooters loaded. That could be some double entendres right there, bro. As we continue our coverage of the 1937 serial Zorro Rides Again, Chapter 2, The Fatal Minute. The meetup location, Casa de Vega.
Adios.
Please remember to replace the speaker on the post when you leave the theater.
Gregarious.
Did I not say it?
It is gregarious. You get close, I guess.
You want me to redo it? Freshness is forever. SR
tingle. Tune in. Find out. Is there loot? I don't know if there's loot for that.
Yeah, hold on. Okay.
It's
a little extended, yeah.
Yeah. It's a little remix. I love it.